Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn to Genesis chapter number 6. We'll be there in just a moment. How many of you got a cold? I can hear you coughing. I've got, I had two cough drops for the sermon today. I just gave one to Tammy. So the sermon got shorter. And then I went in the office this morning and I deleted out two big passages of scripture because I thought it would be too long. So you're having a good day. So it should just get better right from here, all right? Well, we'll go to Genesis chapter 6 in just a moment. But when we come over to Hebrews and we're doing the heroes of the faith, and the Hebrews chapter 11 is the passage where the writer, he just records all kinds of Old Testament men and women that actually God used them in great ways. He used their faith to demonstrate how God works and what he does. And so one of the things that is interesting is that in the Old Testament, there was the sacrificial system. The sacrificing of lambs, the sacrificing of animals for sin offerings, etc. It's all laid out very clearly in the book of Leviticus and so forth. And they established the tabernacle and the worship and so forth. All of those things were looking towards the future. They're all pointing towards the future of what God was going to do and how men's sins could be forgiven. And the children of Israel, they obeyed those Levitical laws, if you would, by faith. By faith, they trusted that God was going to do as he said. By faith, they looked forward to those things. But something has happened when we come to the New Testament that Judaism has begun to slip, if you would, into a works system, that it was the things you did and how you acted and all sorts of things. Remember the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They added to the Levitical law hundreds of rules because they did not want people to violate the law, and so they added all of these rules. And they really created and came up, if you would, if you're spiritual, you're going to do these things. That was really the attitude of the Pharisees, wasn't it? They looked down on others. And, you know, one even prayed, you know, out on the street corner, "God, I thank you that I'm not like this one over here, this tax collector." And so they had a real arrogant, judgmental, self-righteous attitude that was creeping into their religion. And when we come to the book of Hebrews, the author is actually correcting that. He's actually correcting it because he's saying, no, Abraham and the others, they were not saved by what they did. They were saved by faith. Now we know from James chapter 2, which is a whole passage I took out because we don't have time for it. James says your faith without works is dead. Just like your body without your spirit is dead, so if you have faith and you don't have any evidence of it, your faith is dead. What I want you to see is James was not saying that a person is saved by their works. But he was saying if their faith is real, if their faith is true, then it's going to show up in their life. That's what he was saying. Church, listen to me. If our faith as believers, as Christians, would really be allowed to show up in how we live and what we do, God could use that. God will use that. part of the problem is our faith, it is not showing up in our life. We say we believe, and we believe, but it is not being evidenced out in our life. I want to show you a man today. We'll talk about him tonight as well. But that is Noah. Noah was a man. I shortened the sermon today. Noah's sermon, it was 120 years long. That's a long sermon. But it was. And what was it about that sermon? What it was about that sermon was that God took God at His word and He obeyed Him and He did exactly what God commanded Him to do. He was obedient. Remember now, I've been telling you for a couple weeks now, faith is obeying God's word, even when it doesn't make sense, no matter what the circumstances are, or no matter what the consequences are. Faith is just saying, I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know why He's doing it. But I am going to obey what He tells me to do. Well, in the New Testament, good news for you that this cough drop is now crunching up and I'm about done with one. The really good news is that Tammy has the other one. I told Janet, I said, I hate to speak with a cough drop because I get so loud, it may fly out and hit someone in the forehead back there. But, so here we go. Hopefully we'll make it through. These religious leaders, the Pharisees, we know that they were slipping into a work system because what? They got angry. They got angry at Paul. They got angry at Jesus. They were angry at Stephen. They were angry at John. They were angry at Peter. They were constantly being angry at them because they felt that they were teaching a new thing, the new covenant. Would somebody get me a water because I have a feeling I'm going to need one. All right, Tammy took my laugh cough up. All right. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you guys. Oh, she found one. Okay. I still would like a water. That'd be easier. All right, thank you. So when we see these things, Habakkuk, let me just read for you and you can look at it. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 4, look what the Bible says. This is in the Old Testament. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. That is, he is not upright in himself, but how is he justified? He is justified by faith. He lives by faith. In the Old Testament, they were saved by faith. In the New Testament, we are saved by faith. Man has always been saved by believing, by faith and faith alone. It was never based on works. Well, now look at Noah's life. Noah's life, it's a great example. It's a great example. In James chapter 2, James says, I believe, therefore I do. We see that with Noah. Go back to Genesis chapter 6, and it's kind of a lengthy passage here, but I'll read through it. There's just some key things we want to pick out of here. But beginning in verse number 1 of Genesis 6, it says, now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, they saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, excuse me, my spirit shall not always strive with men, forever, shall not strive with him forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Something that is interesting to think about there is God is saying that, listen, we could talk, we're not going to talk about the sons of God and the daughter. We're not going to go into all of that because there's lots of theories about that and what it was and what it wasn't. But what we do see here is that God says, I'm going to give 120 years and then there's going to be judgment. We're going to, there's going to be judgment. Well, look at verse number 4. There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward. And when the sons of God, they came in to the daughters of men and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then verse number 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth. And that every intent, that is every intent, their intentions of their hearts, of their thoughts or of their heart, of his heart, was only evil continually. There was nothing that was coming out of the hearts and the minds of men except wickedness and evil intentions. Now look at verse number 6. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air. Why? For I am sorry that I have made them. Verse number 8, but Noah, that's a huge thing right there. But Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah, look at this now. Noah walked with God. Remember Enoch a couple of weeks ago? Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Verse number 10, and the Bible says, in Noah, he begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And so God, he looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse number 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. Now, I want you to look at that word pitch right there, and if you're not opposed to it, mark that in your Bible. Circle it, underline it, and if you want to, out to the side, you can write atonement. Atonement, it's the same word. The Hebrew word pitch is also the same as atonement. And do you see what God told Noah to do? He said, make an ark. Make a huge boat. And he gives them all the measurements, and we will talk even more about that tonight. But he does all of that, and then he says, you pitch it with this pitch. That's the same word of atonement. Church, listen to me. The ark that Noah built is a beautiful type or a picture of Jesus. Because when you are in Christ, when you're inside of Christ, that's where you find your atonement is in Him. You see, that boat that was about to be floating around the globe, if you would, and rain pouring out and water gushing out of the ground, it had been covered with pitch. And therefore, whatever was in that ark, whatever it was, animal, person, it was safe. Why? Because of the pitch that was on the outside. That pitch on the outside would not let the judgment waters get into the ark. Do you see that? And so when you and I, by faith, we put ourselves in Christ, by faith we repent of our sins and ask Him to be our Lord and Savior, when you are in Christ, guess what? You are atoned. You are safe from the judgment. Now, I want you to catch something. You're going to see it. Not everybody got in the ark. Not everybody was saved. Church, listen to me. Unless you put yourself under the conviction and the power of the Holy Spirit and His Word, and unless you, by faith, repent of your sins and ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, you're outside of the ark. And when the storm comes, and it's coming, I'll show you that at the end. It's coming. You will be in judgment. You'll be destroyed. Your most important thing that you can do is to get into the ark, because that's where the atonement is. All right, well, I spent a little more time on that than I planned. All right, verse number 15. It says, and this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, it shall be 300 cubits, and its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. And I'm going to talk about that tonight, how big that is. It's like over 400 feet long, and I forget how many feet wide off the top of my head, but it's also about four stories high. So, okay, it's quite a thing here. Verse number 16, and you shall make a window. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit. You shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. And you shall make it. You shall make it with lower second and third decks. Okay. And verse number 17, and so behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which the breath of life, everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, my agreement with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. And they shall be male and female of the birds after their kind, of the animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing and so forth, of the earth after its kind, and two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And isn't that interesting? He said two of every kind will come to you. God's moving them. He's bringing them to Noah. They're going to come to you. Verse 21, and you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself. You're going to make your own food pantry in there, Noah, all right? And it shall be food for you and for the animals. Now, verse 22. Thus Noah did according to all, that's where we struggle. He did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. That's faith. That's faith. Noah has, as far as we know, never seen a drop of rain. He never seen a flood. God's probably had to explain a lot of this to him. But it says Noah, he believed God and he did all that God had told him to do. Now, I think we have a picture of an ark we can put up there for you to look at for a moment or whatever. An ark, as I said earlier, it is a picture of Christ. I want you to take your Bibles now and we'll go over to Hebrews chapter 11 because this is really the chapter of the heroes of the faith, the hall of faith, if you would. I want you to see a couple of things here. In Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Never seen rain. Never seen a flood. Never seen anything like this whatsoever. Being warned by God. Look at this now. It says, moved with godly fear. He was moved with godly fear. That's not the fear of fright and being afraid because someone jumped out and said, boo, scared you. It's not that. Some of you just woke up, all right? But it's not that. It's a reverent fear. It's an awesome respect. It's an awe of Almighty God. And I don't know what God sounds like. I don't think he sounds like on the movies, you know, you hear all those people. But God spoke to Noah, and he was moved with a godly or a reverential fear for what God said. And he prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness. Look at that now. Do you see what Noah did? And church, listen to me. Here's just something for you to think about. Kids usually pretty much by themselves, they can kind of behave pretty good sometimes. But when you get a group of them, they come up with some really dumb ideas. I know because I did that myself, all right? But do you see what it said here? It said that by his obeying God, he saved his family. But he condemned the world. And what that means is that by his obeying God, his obedience was a testimony to the world that God was about to do something, that God was at work. And by his obeying God, that caused those that did not obey him to be convicted or to be condemned. They saw his obedience and then their disobedience. I know as young people sometimes, you know, you might want to just go and do something really stupid that you know you shouldn't do, but you don't want to do it alone, right? Because you want to take as many people down with you as you can. Because your sister over here that says, nah, you're dumb, don't do that. Your sister that says, don't do that. Right? She's going to condemn you if she doesn't do it. So you got to get her to do it. I could tell you a good story about hollyhock leaves here, but I will not. You know who you are. But we try to get other people. But it says here that Noah, by his obeying God, it condemned them. What did it do? It convicted them. It showed them. Now, look at this. It condemned them. Now, it also, it says that, and he became heir of the righteousness, which is according to what? Faith. He became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, we know from Isaiah, don't we? Isaiah says that our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags, good church. So you all know you're not righteous, right? It's just like filthy rags that a leper would use to wipe his sores and things like that. Man, the fact that you're in church and you might feel really self-righteous today and everything, guess what? It's like a filthy rag. God's not impressed by that. But he is impressed by the fact that if you are in Christ, when he looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. You have inherited not your righteousness, not your self-righteousness. You've inherited the righteousness of God. And that's what Noah got. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. And the only way that a person can be righteous before God is by faith. Listen to me, my friend. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I don't know, you get all this yelling, I don't know what's going on, you know, whatever. I don't know, I just came to church today to kind of check it out or see. Let me tell you something. Every single person, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all under that condemnation until we come to Christ. This preacher is not saved because he's a preacher. This preacher is not saved because he got dunked in the water a couple of times. This preacher is not saved because he comes to church. This preacher is not saved because he puts money in the plate every Sunday. And neither are you. No one is. No one is. We're all saved by faith. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? That means you take God at his word and you obey it, you accept it, you surrender to it, you fall under its authority, and you see God's word says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and all must be saved. Well, how are we saved? We're not saved because we do righteous things. We're not saved because we do good. You know how we're saved? We're saved by faith. Because we believe. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to the cross. They looked forward to God was going to provide a lamb, that God was going to do something. They didn't understand it all, but they knew that God was going to do it. It was God's righteousness, not theirs, and they were depending by faith. They were going to obey God. And you and I, you know what we do? We look back. We look back at the cross, that Christ died on the cross for my sins. He was buried, and he rose on the third day so that I might have eternal life. Not because of something I've done, but because of what he did. Now Noah, he believed God. And he went out there and he began to build an ark. Now I want to tell you something. I don't know what, you know when Noah's faith really kicked in? When he got out there and he got that old, chainsaw, whatever, steel chainsaw out, and he wound that thing up and he cut the first tree. That's when his faith kicked in. And you know, for 120 years, this is no small little rinky-tink operation. For 120 years... he was out there cutting down trees and building a huge, huge boat. Now, to you and I, that seems, oh, cool, you know, yeah, we've heard the story. Put yourself in Noah's sandals, if you would. This is a wicked world. And he's out there building this boat, telling them God is going to bring judgment. Church, listen to me. God is going to bring judgment. He's still planning to bring judgment on this world. He is still planning to. But you see, God was very patient, wasn't he? And for 120 years, Noah was out there cutting trees, building this ark. And guess what people were doing?
People were walking by, what? What? That guy's nuts. Look at what? What's he putting in his backyard over there? What? This dude's crazy. And for 120 years, he just kept going on, obeying God. Just going to obey God by faith. Because he had a fear of God. He loved God. He knew what that God was going to do something. Romans 3 and verse 20. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. No flesh will be justified. No one in the Old Testament, no one in the New Testament is going to be justified by what they do on their own, by their works. No one will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, what the law does is it shows us how wicked we are. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, it is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. Listen to me. Let me give you a real kind of a simple example. What that passage right there was saying, Noah wasn't saved by his works, but he was saved by faith that he believed God. God said to do this, and therefore I'm going to do it. Doesn't make any sense. If God told you to do something as ridiculous as build an ark today, how quickly would you do it? It was Noah by faith he did that. It was his faith. It was his reverence for God that he stepped out and said, this is what God wants me to do. That's what he did. That's what Noah did. Christians, God desires for you and I to live our lives in such a way that we will be a testimony to those around us. Even in that psalm that I read earlier, it said, so that when others look at me, they will trust in the Lord and be saved. You see, when God looks on us, on a sinner, when he looks at us as sinful people before we're saved, he sees our wickedness, he sees our sinfulness, he sees our wretchedness. But when you get inside of the ark of Jesus, when you get inside of Christ, when by faith you say, you know, God, I am a dirty, rotten sinner, and I cannot save myself. I don't care how religious you are. You cannot save yourself. God, I know that I am a dirty, rotten sinner, and I need Jesus. It's when you humble yourself and you repent of your sins and admit that and ask Jesus to come into your heart. That's like getting in the ark. That's where you're going to be safe from God's judgment. That's where you're going to be, the pitch is going to be around you. The atonement is going to be over you. How many of you go to those movies, the 3D movies? Nobody's going to admit it. Okay, good. I'm glad. No, I don't know. I don't go to them because they don't do me any good. I can put them little cardboard glasses on and looks green to me. I'd rather see it without all that. But you see, when God looks at you, when you're in Jesus, he sees Jesus' righteousness. He sees what Christ did on the cross. He doesn't see your sinfulness. And if I could do nothing else today other than to encourage you, I don't know where you're at in your spiritual walk. If I could do nothing else, I would beg with you, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, if you have not trusted him, I beg you, would you get into the ark? Would you receive Christ as your Savior? Because judgment is coming. I'm going to ask Josh and the musicians to come, but I wanted to share just one other thought with you this morning. You know, judgment is coming. God has warned us about it. He told them that it was going to come, that the flood was going to come in the year when Methuselah died. And that's what happened. Not until he was gone was the flood going to happen. God told Noah, not Moses, he told Noah 120 years. I'm going to wait 120 years and judgment is coming. God is very patient. Peter even said, you know, some even question whether God is coming or whether he's even going to judge. But you see, he is merciful. He is patient, but judgment is coming. Let me read one passage for you. Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. My friends, judgment is coming. Would you stand with me this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. I do not know when the judgment is coming. I do not know the day or the hour. The Bible says no man knows. So you can read all them pamphlets. You might as well throw them away. Put them in the fire pit. Nobody knows. But I will tell you this. He is coming. And even if you live past, or if I'm sorry, if you pass away before his coming, you're going to stand one day, every one of us is going to stand and give an account before God what we have done with Christ. It's not about religion. It's not about church. It's about your personal relationship with Almighty God. And I ask you this morning, you may be here and you know you're a Christian. You know that. My friend, are you burdened enough to tell those around you that they need Jesus? Are you burdened enough to be that testimony as Noah was, that living example to them that your faith is real, that it's strong? That's the job of every believer, to point men to Christ. And if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I do not know for sure that I'm in Christ, but I know I need His forgiveness. I want Him to be my Lord and Savior. I want to be inside of that atonement. I want to be inside of that ark. I want to be under the protection of Christ. Now, I'm not going to rely on my own self to protect me from the judgment of God. I need the righteousness of Jesus. Maybe that's where you are today. We give an invitation at our church for our church folks to come and to pray. Maybe they have a burden or something, but I want to encourage you. Maybe you have a lost friend that you need to come and you need to pray for. You need to come and leave their name here at the altar and pray for them. You might be the one that actually sets the example that might encourage someone else that would come and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, as we come before you today, I thank you, Lord, for the day that you have given to us. I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that this morning in a room this size with this many people, I know that there are people that are inside the ark of Christ and outside. Lord, I know that there are many that they are in the ark. They have trusted the atoning blood of Christ. But yet, Lord, we're not living for you as we ought to. I pray that you would convict us, that you would change our hearts, break our hearts. And Lord, I pray for that one or two or those that may be here, maybe several, that they do not know you as their Lord and Savior, but they desire to be in the ark of Christ, that their sins might be forgiven and by faith they might have salvation. Lord, I pray that you would give them the courage and the boldness, that your Holy Spirit would prompt their hearts that they might respond to your message today. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.